the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the February issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Winterizing Your Cow Herd, Managing Cows Through Cold Stress. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by one of the co-authors, Dr. Mary Janowski, who's a Nebraska Extension Beef System Specialist. Mary, thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be here, Aaron.
Well, Mary, as we record this podcast, it's a balmy 60 across much of the state, and so a little bit of a oxymoron, I guess, to have a conversation about caring for cold cows when it's such a nice day out. But a couple of weeks ago, it was bitter cold, and as we know, it can go back to being that way. So let's talk about, especially as we get further, I would say, towards spring here, we can still have some cold weather, and we also see cow nutrient requirements, especially for these spring calving cows, ramping up. What are some major factors we need to remember about the impact of cold on cows?
Well, I think if we think about cold stress and when we're really going to see cold stress, there's a couple things to remember. Of course, number one, yeah, the temperature matters, but their hair coat matters. And in particular, is it wet or dry? Their condition matters. And that's one I would like to come back to, because that to me is the number one thing producers can think about doing to set their cows up to be able to handle cold conditions. So what the body condition score is of those cows. And then wind, right? Do they have wind protection or not? And that's a major factor, of course, in whether or not they're going to have cold stress, especially in Nebraska, because the wind can drop the perceived temperature tremendously, right? So if we think about preparing cows for cold, and we think about the idea of how do we mitigate cold stress, there are only some things that you can actually control. You can control the condition of the cows, you can control the location that they're at, and then of course you can control their diet, which we can talk a little bit more about.
So let's talk about at what temperature with the cows in good to excellent condition do they actually begin to experience cold stress where they're burning additional energy just to keep themselves warm?
Yeah, so that temperature with a dry hair coat and a cow who's five or better in body condition is 19 degrees Fahrenheit. So they can handle a lot colder conditions than we would like, right? So 19 degrees Fahrenheit with a dry hair coat, condition five. However, you change that to wet hair coat, if it truly gets wet all the way down through, it's 53. which means that basically anytime they are soaked in the winter, they're probably burning energy to stay warm.
And we haven't had to experience this much this winter, but if we're in a situation where we have mud, that even further exasperates that.
Yeah, I think to me, the big factor on the mud is whether or not, you know, it's actually on their hair. But more than that, it's just using the energy to move around. That's a big thing, right? So mud is never fun.
Let's talk about cows that are not in a body condition score five. What's their lower critical temperature?
Yeah, so a cow who's a four and a half, it's 27. So we went from 19 to 27, so an 8-degree difference. And I'll just want to translate that to, okay, how much does that mean in energy? So an 8-degree difference, we basically say it's 1% increase in energy requirement for every degree below that critical threshold, if that makes sense. So if we say 8% here, we're talking about 8 percentage units in energy. If a cow in mid-gestation to late gestation, she requires, you know, 13 to 16 pounds of TDN. So 8%, you're looking at essentially about a pound to a pound and a half of TDN. So that's around a pound and a half of distillers, or a pound and a half to 2 pounds of corn that you would have to feed every day to make up that difference. So huge difference between a cow who is a five and a cow who is a four. So probably the number one thing you can do to set your cows up to actually maintain condition in the winter is have them in good condition before the winter starts. And that also coincides with a great time in terms of their requirements, because their requirements are low in that mid-gestation. So just after usually weaning and typically around that preg check time, it's a great time to actually start feeding them to get them to that body condition score 5, because then they go into the winter with good condition and actually the winter weather affects them less. So you actually have to put less into them to keep them at 5.
The other thing that having those cows in good condition does is allow you to use some of the fat on their back as a feed resource when it is bitter cold. Talk about that a little bit because there's times we physically probably can't hardly get enough feed into that cow, and she's going to need some of that energy that she has stored.
Yeah, that's a great point. So if you actually in the article, they actually have in there the math that you can do to figure out how much you need to feed. But what you just pointed out is that it's very unlikely that we are going to want to just shift diets based off of how cold it is. We really want to think about it as more of a long-term type of thing. And what you just said was, well, one of the supplements that we can have for those cows is just the condition that she has on her back. So if she has a little bit of fat, she can use it when it gets extreme cold to stay warm, and that's great. If you have long-term extreme cold, then we do need to start thinking about how we are going to make up some of that difference. And usually what we suggest would be actually to think about it more as a kind of a long-term thing where I might even start feeding a little extra energy before it gets cold, continue feeding it through when it's cold, and even continue after it warms up, just to again make sure that we get those stores where we want them. So it's kind of like use the fat on her back, replace the fat on her back. So if we think about that, like we're not wanting to make huge shifts in her diet. If you have some really good quality hay and you switch to good quality hay, you could think about, well, how much difference in energy am I making up by going from, say, a poor quality hay to a good quality hay? Sometimes that's enough if you feed it long term, but it's not going to be enough if you just feed it on those cold days, because you're not going to make up all the difference, if that makes sense. Or you might have to feed a little bit of supplement if you don't have that really good quality hay. So we might do something like feed 2 pounds of distillers for, a couple weeks to make up the difference. In general, I would say that number one thing to do, get that cow in good condition so that you have that buffer. And then if we have extended periods of extreme cold, we want to think about starting to change what we're doing in terms of feeding them. And lastly, thinking about, well, we all know the weather tends to be usually, actually, kind of funnily enough, usually January tends to be really a time where we get more of the icing events and some of those cold weather snaps. And so, thinking about what can I strategically have my cows in a place where they have a windbreak, or making sure I'm providing them that windbreak to give them some of that buffer.
Anything else on this topic you'd like to highlight today?
I would say we focused here on cows, but we also don't want to forget about our bulls. Especially as we're getting closer here to the breeding season, what's going on even now for some people is going to affect their breed up because it's really kind of a 60 to 90 day window there. So, cold stress, we want to make sure that our bulls also have A, the condition on them, but B, the windbreak, and C, if it is cold, we got to worry about, of course, their ability to keep from having frostbite on their testicles. So, bedding may be necessary when it comes to bulls in these really cold conditions.
Mary, I think that's a great reminder because sometimes bulls this time of year kind of get forgot about a little bit. We're a ways from breeding season. Cows are in late gestation. We're focused on them. And sometimes the bulls are in a back pasture. But that's, I think, really important because, again, the value of those bulls and the damage that can occur from frostbite is significant.
Yeah, so keep them in your mind a little bit. That is one thing, like with I have quite a bull battery right now, and just finding a place for them that has a good windbreak is one of the things that we do, and then making sure when we have those cold snaps, we do go out and bed them. So that's probably the most important thing to consider for them is a little bit different. Cows, bedding them, yeah, you can do that, and that can help a little bit, but I think for bulls, it's mostly about keeping that contact off of the ground there.
Well, thanks for your time today and for putting this article together.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to share with our audience here.
For more information on the article we did discuss in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find it at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article, Winterizing Your Cow Herd, Managing Cows Through Cold Stress.